So the clock up there says 1:45, so I'm going to get started. How's everyone? You guys enjoying the conference so far? Enjoying the weather? Yeah. I see your laughter. I love it. Tonight's Halloween, you know. I saw all the signs along the path from the food tent to here that says beware of mud. That's what we're going to tell our children tonight. Not beware of strangers, you know. It's beware of mud as we go out. Anyway, so let's get started. My name is Kathy Cam, and I'm a program manager on the Windows team. So in the past 3 years, I've been working on HTML layout technologies. And before that, you guys might remember me as a SAML PM working also on layout technologies and controls. Today, my talk's about key technologies for building great reading experiences. And before I start, did you guys attend Kyle's session right before lunch? How many of you did? Oh, great. Quite a couple of you did. So, where's my clicker? I'm going to go through the agenda real quick. So we're going to cover three main things today in this session. We're going to cover download content for offline consumption, layout technologies for adaptive reading experiences, and navigation techniques for keeping readers engaged. So I'm going to talk about how to take some of the concept that Kyle talked about this morning and actually implement them. So before I start, I just want to talk a little bit about the landscape we have today. This is a statement I got from the New York Times financial second quarter financial statement. And in within about a three-month time period, they saw a 13% increase of the paid digital subscription. This should come as no surprise to everyone. We know for a while that digital is the delivery vehicle of choice for consumers in obtaining content. Has anyone noticed another trend that's happening in this digital revolution? Anyone? There's been a trend that's been we have been moving from using websites to consume content to using apps. And the main reason for that is people now care about the experience. And Kyle went on at length in the talk earlier about why this is important. And today, I'm going to talk about how we can implement some of the experience Kyle talked about to help you engage your users and to expand on your brand. Okay, so I'm going to go back here. So the three things I'm going to talk about is acquiring your data, displaying the content, and navigating between content. The first I'm going to talk about is downloading your content. So when you're building reading experiences, a lot of times you have to handle a lot of content. And there are different scenarios you need to display your content. There are scenarios where, just like a website, people are using and reading their book or magazine or their news article, and they want to get to the content immediately. And then there's another scenario where I'm going to go offline, I don't have internet access, I may be going on the plane, I might be not, but I just don't have internet access, but I still want to be able to read my content. So in one scenario, you want all your content to be ready as soon as you want to read it, and in another scenario, your users want the content to be ready when they want to read it later. So for the first scenario, you would think, oh, I would get the content as I need and stream it down, but then if you do that, the users cannot use it when they go offline. On the other scenario, you want to download all the content that they might want to use later. But then, if you're trying to download everything at once, they might not get the data they want immediately. So it might seem like they're conflicting, but in Windows, we have a technology called the background downloader that can help solve this problem. So one of the key things that in order to satisfy both scenario is to use the background downloader for about data over 1 megabyte, and I will have a demo that shows you how to do it. Okay. Oh, there are my dogs. So here, so in my first demo today, I'm going to show you how to take some content, take a Here, let me just run this first. So this is an app I prepped earlier where you can take, there's about 4 books. It's just the default template. And I have about 4 content here that we want to download. And you can imagine that in your scenario, it can be news article or magazine articles that people want to that you don't have yet and you need to download. So just to show you what this app is about, I've basically created just the UI for the app, so it really doesn't do anything. Excuse me. It doesn't really do anything. It's just UI stubbed out, ready for me to show the download manager. So here in the app bar, I have created just some buttons so that are all stubbed out as well to show how to use the download manager. So. And then stop. So my demo today is to show how we can use the download manager to manage the data you have. So first, since you guys are familiar with the project template, this is just the group item template that has the data. So I am going to go, the data is going to go to the group item JS file where I have the app bar clicks function all hooked up with those buttons that I just showed you. And what we're going to do today is to implement those functions, start and resume download, pause download, and cancel download. Those are the 3 things that you can use to control the data you're downloading. So when you first start, when the users first start the application, you want to start the download of all of the content. And if they do choose one content, for example, the book Princess of Mars, what you want to do is be able to pause the other download and download that content so that you allow the maximum bandwidth to be used for that content to be downloaded so users can get it as soon as possible, and then resume download on the other content so that when the users go offline, they can still have the other content with them. So Windows allow you to do that without background download manager. So to start, on the start or resume download, I have created a function here that loops through and see which items are selected. And I've got the code stubbed out here already. And here, what we are doing here is to call to start or resume a download. The first thing we're going to do is we're going to figure out what are the items and data that the users have selected. We go first check for in the data object that is bound to the list view whether a download has already begun or whether it has started. If a download has been there, we check whether the status is canceled or error. And if it is canceled error, we simply go create a new download for the item so that we can download. So if the if the download does not already exist, or if it's been canceled or it's been errored out, what we want to do is create the download for the item. But if the download has been paused previously, we can simply call resume, and I have another function that just updates the UI for it. So let's look at how we can create the downloader for this item. So here's another function that I stubbed out, which is just calling create download for item. In order to use the download manager, there's 3 things you need to do to create the download. The first is to create a file for the download manager to download the content into. So we simply call the local folder and call create file async. You can notice that in our Windows RT, this is an async function, so which means that we do not want to block on the UI thread as this is happening. So we have to wait. It returns a promise that this will finish, and then what we use is we call the den function here, so that when it finishes, then we can finish completing the tasks. So once we've created the file, what we would do next is to create the download. So we simply call WinJS application downloader to create the download. My demo here is done using HTML, but of course you can do the same thing using XAML as well. And XAML and C# and C++. So once you have created the download, you set the storage file, and then you can simply, using the promise, you call start async. And the start async, again, will return a download promise to you that you can save away. The reason I'm saving this promise away is so that I can later call pause and resume on this download that is happening. So one of the ways for you to manage the content is that you can download the content, and when the user selects an action that they want a particular content, you can say pause to the other content and download the one that they have selected. And when the user says that when they're done with that or they change their mind, you can pause the one that was downloading and resume the other ones. So let's take a look at how we can implement pause download. So going back to my function here, I have pause download. And here I've also stubbed it out already. That all I'm doing is, again, checking on my list view which item was selected, check for the download, and if the download is running, we will call pause on it. And then we'll update our UI to show it. And cancel is actually very simple as well. Let me go back. So in my cancel function, again, I stubbed out the loop to go through each of the list view item. Here, I'm going to call check whether there's a download promise that I saved before. And if there is a download promise, what I want to do is just call cancel. If there's no download promise, I don't have to call cancel because nothing is downloading right now. So now I'm going to run my application again. I'm going to show you. I'm going to select all of these and start the download. So the download manager is working in the background, downloading each of these books. So you can imagine a scenario where you're an app, you're using the download manager, the user selected your application, so you're going to start kicking off. You have no idea what they want to do next, so you're just going to kick off and start all the downloads. So say the user selected a Princess of Mars. What you can do in your code is pause and just select Princess of Mars. Here. You select Princess of Mars and say you continue to download this one. So, and since I'm downloading this one, I might not want to wait. I might want to switch to another app. So I can switch back. And later, when I come back, I can see a Princess of Mars is finished, and I can now read this content. So you might notice that when I switch back, the other ones are still paused. So one of the things that we have for Windows app is that when your app is not in the foreground, they're put into what we call a suspension state. And work can actually be done in the suspension state. There's no reason why this app, now that it's finished downloading Princess of Mars, should not kickstart and download the rest of the book while it's waiting. So it's just waiting, it's not doing anything. So one of the technologies we want you to use is use the background downloader, and while the app is being suspended, add code to download the rest of the content so that when the users want to have this content later, it is there and ready and available to them. So let me show you how to add that code. So it is in the file default.js, where and here there is a app on checkpoint that allows you to add code. To add code when an application gets into the suspension state. So I'm going to add my code here, and I'll talk through what this does. So again, here, what it does is it goes through all my data that I've wanted to download and basically kickstart, resume the download. So now if I run my app, actually I just restart it so that it actually runs from the new code. If I suspend it, so let me make sure it gets suspended. This should now run to get all the other books downloaded. Is it doing it? Yep. See, as you can tell, even after it's gone suspended, we have now kickstarted so that it will download the rest of the content as well. So this is, sorry, I go back here. So now that we've downloaded the content, I want to show you a little bit where the content goes. So I've downloaded the content in the local storage, here in the packages, in my download demo. And the packages were downloaded as EPUB files. And EPUB files are basically zip files of HTML content. So what you can do is just, you can write code, and I'm sure all of you can write code to expand it into the HTML format that you can read. So I've already got it expanded ahead of time just to save time. And what we want to do next is to actually load the content into HTML or XAML so that you can display the content to users. So let's do that part so that you can see the books being able to be displayed. So to display the content, they are displayed in the item detail page. In the item detail page, I have a page fragment that I prepped with an iframe and an article. So since these data are just HTML data, I should be able to just easily feed the data into the iframe as content and display it, right? Unfortunately, that is not the case. Because of security reasons, we did not allow HTML and CSS to be directly fed into an iframe. And so what we want to do is, instead of just pointing to it, we want to process the item content into the iframe. So here I have some, again, I have some code that I prepped earlier in how to do so. So what we want to first get is get the item URL. And using an XML HTTP request, I am going to read the request so that I can process it into the iframe that I've prepared. So in order to do that, I can't just simply read, open, and write the response to my content document. Again, this is another security kind of speed bump we put into place just to make sure you guys are all thinking carefully about what HTTP content we're plugging into your app. We don't want any unsafe content. So if you do believe that the content you have is safe and you're confident that you want to just put it into the frame, then what you have to do is call execute unsafe local function. This is just for you to declare that you trust where the content is coming from and that you want the iframe to load it. So once you have, so you call this execute unsafe local function and to open and write the HTTP request in. Then what we want to do next is just, you know, put this content in some CSS region, which I'll talk about in later. So if I run this app now, it's still downloading. You can see that the content has been loaded on. Unfortunately, it looks a little ugly. And one of the reasons it looks a little ugly is, again, what I have right now is the HTTP content, and I'm pointing it directly into the iframe. But the CSS, again, would not be loaded directly, and also the images links are incorrect. So what I need to do next is to fix those. Stop it. And I have two functions here just to help fix it. And let's walk through those two functions and see what I'm doing here. So in the inline linked style sheet, what we have to, because CSS is another, we also cannot directly read CSS into our iframe. What we need to do is read the CSS and build and insert these directly inline into my HTML document. So what I do here is first we fix the URL of the linked CSS that was in the original content. I use the XML HTTP request to read the new URL. And then what I'm going to do is create style element inline so that I can inject the style elements directly into my HTTP document so that I can now display the correct styles. Is everyone still following? Great. Then the next part that I wanted to fix up was the media sources, which is a lot simpler. All I'm doing is grabbing all the image sources and I'm making the correct relative URL to my document because I've just downloaded it, opened it up. So with these two functions in place now, if I click on my Princess of Mars, now the styles are correct and I have my images in line correctly. So now I can go back to my PowerPoint slide. So in my demo just now, I think there's three main things that I did. I used the background downloader to manage the files. And this is important because in my demonstration, I had four books and I used the background manager to pick which one I'm downloading based on what the users is doing. In your cases, it could be articles. If you have a really big book, you might want to break it up into chapters and where you can download sections separately and using the background download manager, background downloader to help manage which pieces that you want you can download. And then when I was loading the data back up into HTML and HTML, I had to do several tasks. I have to first fix the URLs and resolve all the references. And I have to bring all the styles back in line into my document so that it can be displayed correctly. And we're doing all of this is because for security reasons that we do not want developers to really think about the HTML that they are putting into their apps. If you are not using HTML as your display language and you're using XAML instead, same thing applies. You can either do a server-side conversion into a loadable XAML where you download the XAML directly and where you can just load, or you have to do something similar to what I just did with HTML, which is you have to crack open the source and create XAML visual elements with the content to be able to display it. Which leads to my next section about layout. So I have two apps here, Le Monde and NBC News that Kyle showed earlier, and they are both beautiful reading experiences with multi-line images embedded. And they're actually written in two different languages. NBC News is written in XAML, and Le Monde is written in HTML and JavaScript. So again, we believe in a choice of languages. So you can write beautiful reading experiences in either language you want. And I want to go over some of the layout technologies that you can use to create the good reading experiences. So go back to. So for HTML layout, we have multi-column hyphenation, exclusion, and region to help you create the reading experiences you want. So let me go back to my demo here. And I have this available. So let me start with. So for HTTP, one of the layout technologies I want to demonstrate is the use of wrap, MS Flow wrap. So here I have just a image, and I can move this image to bigger or smaller, and I can, if it is just as simple as a float, it can just float left and right. What I want to do is to wrap the text around this image. And in order to do that, I can simply call msflowwrap. And all it does is it takes the text and it takes the image and it calls msflowwrap so that the text can wrap around it. So as I move the image here with my tool, you can see that it's updating the location of the image with MS grid, that is on the grid, and text automatically flow around it. And I can make it bigger. Oops. I need to do this for it to expand. So the next HTML technologies I want to demonstrate is multi-column. So you saw in that last demo that text is in multiple columns. we know from a design perspective that you don't want text to be in one giant paragraph because your eyes, the users want to not have to move their head when they're reading across the screen. And we have usability studies that says that having it in column helps people to track line after line better. So in HTML, we have we have multi-column that can enable you to do that. So you can either set multi-column based on count. So here I have a count of two columns. And the CSS to do so is pretty simple. You just set the number of columns. Or you can set it using width. So we recommend using width because if you use width, then the more columns will be added as you lay out to different form factors. So as you see that if as I make these columns, so now that I have multi-column, you can tell that the edge of these columns are all rigidy. So one of the things we can do to help that is the use of to use justify. There you go. So what happens is now we look more like a newspaper. The columns are now justify. But unfortunately, once you start doing that, you can see there's these rows of gaps from spaces because the there's not enough letters to fill a column. And so one of the things that we can do to get rid of these rivers of white that we call it is to use hyphenation. So I can do auto hyphenation and it will automatically hyphenate the words to help make to get rid of those rivers of white. And you can control how many characters to hyphenate, how many hyphenation per line as you wish with hyphenate limit chars and hyphenate limit lines property, a CSS property. So if I set it to 3, it will only hyphenate up to 3 letters. And finally, in HTML, you can also use regions to help you make great reading experiences. So the way regions work is that, so if I have a complex layout here where I have 5 different divs and I have content, if I just set content to these 5 different divs, when it runs out of room, it will just show scroll bars. Not a very pretty reading experience. So what I want to do is instead I'm going to use CSS regions. And the way CSS regions work is you call my flow into. So what it will take is it take one source and it will create and it will flow from one content to the next so that you can generate as many regions as you need to fill all the fill your text into these container. Now you have these pieces that can help lay out your container however you wish. You can put images in between them and you can create. This is basically a primitive that can help you create more sophisticated page layout. So now I'm going to demonstrate how to do this in XAML as well. So in XAML, I wrote a similar app to what I just showed you, which is in XAML you have less tools. They have what we have. We have one thing called the rich text block and rich text block overflow, which acts just like the HTTP regions. So here you can what I have is a grid of 3x3 where I had the where I have my text. So you know, for me to make multi-column with this, I can simply put my text box in one column, create containers, and overflow into it. And if I get rid of the borders, then this basically create multi-column. And if you want an image in XAML to sit in between the text, unfortunately, XAML does not have the flow. So what you do is basically rearrange the column so that it flows around. So I will show you how we do it live. Take a look at the code. So I just, in my main page, which was what I just demonstrated, I just created the live demo, which is I just have a text block that I've loaded with content. So just to show you what you need to do, all you need is the rich text block overflow. You give it a name, overflow one. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to put it in grid.column1, row span 3, and then give it a margin of 5 just to make it look nicer. And I won't be column center anymore. So now I'm taking it from 3 columns to 1 column, and I've created this rich text block overflow to overflow content. And the way we overflow content is we call overflow content. Element name, and it is rich text box overflow 1. Whoops. So if I load my live demo, there you go, you have 2 columns. So I can do the same thing and add a 3rd column, and I'm going to add an image in the middle to show how you can get wrapping with XAML. So here, I'm going to add a 3rd one. And then I'll rename it to 2. See, instead of row spanning to 3, if I put an image, I'm going to put it, I don't have to row span this one. So I can do, and I do the same thing. The rich text block overflow allow you to use the same property, which is overflow. Target, two. So then this will now flow into RTB2. And so this, I'll make it in column 1, grid.row 3, 2. And I can put an image there, which I'm just going to use a rectangle. Bisque, whatever bisque color is. And we do grid.row equals 1, grid.column equals 1. So, and then I'll add a 3rd rich text block, 3, 2, and grid row span 3. So here. So if I load my this went all the way down. Did I name it wrong? Grid.row. Oh, there you go. So loading my live demo, there you have it. So with XAML, you can do the same thing. You can wrap text around images, you can create multi-column with XAML as well. So for HTML, just a recap, you have multi-column, hyphenation, exclusion, and regions, where region is the primitive that can help you make more sophisticated layout. And in XAML, you have rich text block overflow, and inline UI container as well to help you put images inline. So the last part I want to talk about is navigation. So at the end of Kyle's talk, he talked a lot about navigation. So We talk a lot about how hierarchical navigation is great for reading experiences, because users can choose where they want to go and what topics they would like to read. But today, if you take a look at our default project template, you will notice that you can select one topic, but you can't go from topic to topic, article to article, or books to books. What you have to do is go back to the agenda, pick another topic, and then come down and read. This is not very efficient. Instead, what we really want the users to be able to do is to pick one topic, and when they're done with it, just naturally flow to the second topic, and then the third topic. So I'm going to demonstrate how you do that with our default project template. So fortunately, for those of you who use XAML and C#, that's built into our project template, but unfortunately for HTML, it's not. So I'm going to show you how you do it. And so let me close this. So I'm just going to do a file new project. It's just the default grid project. Here. So I just did file new project. This is the default grid project. And if I run it, you guys are familiar with this, where it has some sample data that is already placed. And you can have here, there's one article. There's two. No one really reads article by always going back to the agenda. So what we want to do now is to be able to go from this one article and scroll to the second, to the third. So let's see how we can add that. So before I start, just taking a look at looking at this. So first, let's look at the project template. So what the project template does is that it has the group item, which is where each of the articles are, and you have the item detail which holds your item, the content, all the articles. So here I have a div, the content class, that just binds the title, the subtitle, an image, and the content that is going to be displayed. And then in the JS file, I have the data that this is being bound to. So let's just take a quick look at the data. In this data that we're bound to, it's simply that each individual article is actually bound to a group. So what we want to do is create a flip view that is bound to this group. And then when the user select one of the articles, we select the in the flip view, we select the right article. So now whenever you select an article from the navigation, we are basically just selecting into the correct article within the list view. So let's code that up. So first thing we need to do here is to turn this from just an article into a data template. So I'm going to turn this into item template. All of it into a item template. Then next I'm going to add a flip view. What we want here is to select the item template to select the flip view, select the item template. So here I've turned what used to be just the article into an item template, and I created a flipper here that uses this item template. And now what we need to do next is bind these individual elements. So before I do that, I'm going to go to the JS file. And I have the flipper.js prepared in advance. So let's walk through this code again. So what we have here is that we get the data, get all the items from the group. We loop through to find the correct item that the user actually selected. And what we do is we're going to give the flipper a focus. I can get rid of the focus to the content now. And then I set the item data source to the flipper, and also the item index. So all these binding that needs to happen now needs to happen in the item template. So I'm just going to paste it here as reference. Here we go do data bind. And I can just simply copy text content to the title. And this is to the subtitle. Source and background image. And finally, the inner HTML to the content. So if I run this now, you can see that I have the Flipper. And it will go from article to article, but it's not taking 100% of the viewport. So what I'm going to do is just to go to the CSS file and just tell it to take up detail page, Flipper, and I'm just going to set the height to 100% of the viewport. I get it the wrong thing. Here, Flipper, I forgot this. So now my Flipper is taking 100% of the viewport height, and I have the navigation that you want. So it's pretty simple. All you need to do was to add the Flipper, fix up your bindings, and set the Flipper's data source and also the selected item to begin with. Okay. So just a recap, we did three things today. We talked about how to acquire data with the background downloader. We talked a little about the technologies in both HTML and XAML that to display content. And lastly, I showed how to navigate between content without having to go back to the table of contents. So I have some time for questions. Anyone? For which technology? In XAML?
Yeah.
So the way I would do it in XAML is that you have your content and you will have to generate the rich edit text block dynamically, and then every time you generate, you take the previous one and you set the overflow content property so that you can create more and more. So you have to write it in code to generate these dynamically based on the size of your Yes? I believe so, yes, it does. The question was whether the background download manager handles metered networks, and it does.
So it has the same events as the metered network?
Yes, it does.
Does the background downloader have a way to, if your application is suspended and resumed, keep track of which downloads you started so that you can report their progress?
Yes, and I was showing you that in the demo, which is the promise that you save back when you start a download. Using the promise, you can check the progress. I can show you the code actually. So let me go open this. No, I was just opening back up the background download manager. So in the background download manager, I have a function that updates the UI. So the question was, how do you show the status? So here, when you get the this is the data. So you get the I can show the progress by. In the download, you can do download.progress, and then you have total bytes to receive and total bytes received. So I just use it to do math and then and be able to show the percentage complete.
How can you hold on to the promise or the application being restarted?
you can store that, how do you hold on to the promise? I don't think you can hold the promise when your application restarts. Is there a key to put, the question is there a key to put into the app data? To look, let's take that offline, I can find out for you. But what this does is that if you pause a download and resumes it, you can use this to go check how much was downloaded and how much you continue to download. So, yes?
Are we going to get better support for rich text in XAML?
For
rich text
in XAML in general? That's something we are continue to improve our technologies. So, yes. So tight wrapping, yes. I can't comment on what we will or will not work on, but I would love to hear that if that's important to you, I would make sure I take that back to the product team and make sure they realize that. They do a lot of tight wrapping. Yes, I mean, today you can do it because of using regions, or you can create divs that wraps around the image you want, and using regions, you can overflow from one div to another, just like the way I overflowed that image in XAML. You can do the same thing using regions to overflow. And so if you need tight wrapping today, I would recommend using regions in HTML and create divs that wraps around your object, and then you flow your content from one div to another div. So, yes, question.
In determining how many overflows you need, is there a way to determine if an overflow is full or not? So you can then know if you need another one?
So the question is whether I can determine whether the overflow is full or not.
Is it XAML or?
I would be doing it in XAML.
Okay, so in XAML, I believe you can check what the content is. So if there's content in there, if you create a one that has no content, then that one is extra and you probably don't need it.
Just overflow until one is empty.
Basically, that's what I would do.
Okay.
Another question? Yes. I don't understand the question. So your question is?
When you loaded your book,
mm-hmm.
The HTML actually overflow on the right?
Yes.
Automatically and not vertically? Is that the base behavior of the Windows apps?
This is just the design that we recommend, which is flowing from left to right. The way I did it was I set the viewport off the div, and then I overflow to the right. So this is not because of technology limitation. This is our design preference that we believe for a good reading experience, we want text to flow from left to right.
So you had in CSS?
Yes, I had CSS to say what's the height of my viewport was, and I did not constrain the width of my viewport so that multi-column would overflow to the right. So that, yes, that's a design decision. Anyone have any other questions? Yes?
In your demo where you had all books downloading and then you select one to be opened and just download that,
mm-hmm.
The progress bar went back to zero and started up again. So
good catch. That's a good catch, actually. So we support resuming only if your server support range downloads. So we saved the promise. So unfortunately, the server I was using did not support range download. But if your server support range download, then we would resume. But if we make the call to get the data and it does not support the range, then we will have to start from the beginning. So yes. So we will try to resume if your server lets us resume. But if your server doesn't let us resume, then we will start from the beginning and get it from the beginning. So, but that was a good catch. I noticed that and I go, oh, darn it, the server that I was using does not support range for getting the data. So maybe that's another tip, which is make sure your servers that you guys are using support range when you get data. Yes? That I'm not sure about. If you would email me, I can find that out for you. About, yes?
Now, if you mention, is the download manager on a separate thread?
Yes.
So then it would be
process.
It's a background process.
Okay. So it's preferable than using webworkers for downloading?
Absolutely. Yes, it's preferable. So, anyone has any other questions? Great. Thank you, everyone.